This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at Burrow.com/ACAST. That's Burrow.com/ACAST. Burrow.com/ACAST.
Happy birthday to Computer Weekly, which, like Press Gazette, has reached the astonishing age of, for a media brand of 50. And I think probably people think it's amazing that, like us, a sort of magazine covering the journalism industry has reached that great age, you know. And if anyone has had as many challenges as us, it must be a magazine that covers the computer industry, I would guess. So, I mean, sort of first up, really, how have you managed it? How has Computer Weekly sort of managed to make it through when lots of other titles have gone, haven't they, that would have been around, when, you know, 10 years ago?
So. Well, yeah, absolutely, yes. You know, I mean, you know, getting to 50 years as a technology publication is obviously something we're, you know, enormously proud of. You know, when we launched in September 66... Computer Weekly was the world's first weekly technology newspaper. We weren't the first technology publication. I mean, we were spun out of a quarterly magazine at that time, yeah. By somebody who sort of a smart editor, Chris Hipwell, who you know, realised there was enough things going on in the IT industry now that they could probably justify doing writing news every week. Yeah. And in that 50 years, we've seen a lot of other technology publications come and go during that period of time. I remember when I first came into tech journalism in 2000, it was sort of just before the dot-com crash. It was when the dot-com was at peak, and you know, all the traditional old print brands like Computer Weekly, everybody assumed they were dying. They were on their way out. Everybody was going to these fantastic new websites, you know, here we are still 16 years later. 6 years later on from that, where a lot of those whizzy great websites have since disappeared. Mm. So it's been a you know, as you say, a huge challenge and a really interesting time to go through, because one of the great ironies, if you like, about working on Computer Weekly is, you know, we're writing every week about how technology is changing business sectors, changing the way we work, changing individual companies, and you know, yet during that time, particularly over the last 10 years, being in the media industry, where we've been in the middle of the sector that's been going through the greatest technology-induced change, arguably, of any other. Yeah. We very much followed the same waves as most people did for a lot of that period of time. I mean, probably the period, you know, you probably, if you try to start the story of that period of change, you'd probably go back to sort of late 1990s, which was sort of the heyday of print for Computer Weekly, when the majority of our revenue came from recruitment advertising. And, you know, any of our readers who have been around that long will remember, you know, Computer Weekly used to literally land with a thud on their desks, yes, every week, with like 100 pages of print advertising. Print recruitment advertising in there, because it was the place you went to get a job.
Happy days,
yeah, indeed, yes. And you know, those are the days when the sales team literally, you know, sat by the fax machine watching the orders come flooding in. You know, and then obviously that market, recruitment advertising, disappeared very quickly once online recruitment advertising really came in and took over after about 2001, 2002. Yeah. and all, you know, we were a classic controlled circulation publication at that time, and when the recruitment ads went, all the effort went into display advertising. Mm-hmm. And then as we went through a period where it launched a standalone website with a different branding, mm-hmm. called CW360.com, which again a lot of publications did that time, thinking they needed a different brand for online. And I'm sure somebody probably thought, yeah, you can't have something called Computer Weekly as a website.
Yeah.
That experiment proved to be fairly short-lived as well. They eventually came back to computerweekly.com as a website. And then during the 2000s, we followed the same trends that a lot of those sort of classic controlled circulation publications went to. Display advertising was on a relatively accelerated decline as advertisers started putting all their money into the web, because it was obviously more measurable and all that sort of thing. And so while our website traffic was going up and we were delivering more and more page impressions, but you know, we inevitably, you know, we got to a point where you know, I think it was starting to become pretty obvious that online display advertising wasn't going to replace print display advertising in terms of revenue numbers, as many people are still finding now. And when I came in as editor, when I joined Computer Weekly as editor in 2009, I mean, I was brought in, you know, with a very specific remit saying, you know, we need to make Computer Weekly an all digital publication. Print's not got much time left in it. You know, we're on a path to find a new business model, and a way to try and continue to be successful as a digital publication, because so far everything we've tried hasn't really worked.
Yeah.
And the sort of the model that we developed, or the principle behind the model that we developed, was really trying to take the best of Control Circ and the best of the web. So in that controlled surf days, we knew exactly who our readers were.
Yeah.
You know, we had a huge amount of information about them. Mm-hmm. You know, they got a magazine in a plastic bag, landed on their desk every week. We had obviously no idea if they even took the publication out of the plastic bag, or what articles they read, or how many articles they read. We know exactly how they were.
Yeah.
As the web developed, obviously, came as a great shock to many journalists that, you know, the brutality of web analytics and knowing exactly what stories were being read and which stories weren't being read, and how many people were reading them. So suddenly we had all this information about what all our readers were doing and what they were reading, but we had no idea who those readers were.
Yeah.
So the principle that we adopted in terms of trying to become a digital publication was to combine the best of both. If we can gather the demographic information about our readers and the activity data about what they're actually doing, and combine that, then there's information there that is hugely valuable to technology companies trying to market to that audience. These days, a part of that transition was being bought by TechTarget in 2011. We started on that path in Reed.
Yeah.
And when we were bought by TechTarget had been had always been an internet only company.
Yeah.
And it had been developing a business model very much along those lines. So when they bought Computer Weekly, we plugged into that quite nicely. So effectively today, you know, our business model as part of the TechTarget group is we're basically a data analytics business. So, you know, we're effectively selling data to technology vendors to help them in their marketing, and to help them identify potential leads for what they're trying to do. So, you know, to give you a simpler example of the sort of thing that we could do now, for example, is if a big IT company comes to us and says, you know, we've got a marketing campaign going on for this particular technology or this particular product that we're pushing at the moment. You know, among the sort of things we can do is if we notice that, you know, very big bank PLC, that their employees who are registered members of our website are suddenly reading a lot more information, a lot more stories on this particular topic, it's pretty certain, and that's because they've got an interest in that topic and they're researching it because there's a buying process going on. So we can use that information to identify individuals and organisations that are very likely to be more enthusiastic leads for a particular technology or a particular product area, and then we provide tools to our clients to help them use that information to market to those individuals.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Individuals more effectively.
And as far as the readers are concerned, they're sort of content with the transaction, are they? I guess that they kind of... They're exchanging their personal information in exchange for getting a kind of free website.
Yeah. At that point is exactly, that's a really good question, because that's the point where the quality of the journalism comes in.
Yeah.
So from a journalistic perspective, in terms of how things have changed for us in that transition, is interesting as well. Most of the content on our website is free to air. It's conventional free to air, and we do still run display ads, obviously. That display advertising online is not our major source of income. It's less than 30%, I think. I'm not sure the exact figures, but of our revenue. Everything is there for free, but there is some premium content that you need to register for, which is typically, in very particularly long form or in-depth content. All our readers are smart enough to know that if they fill in a form on the web and tick the box at the bottom to say I allow you to market to me, that means they're going to be getting marketing emails from us and from IT companies. So from an editorial perspective, we need to have the sort of relationship with our audience that they know that if they give us all that information, the content they're going to get on the other side of that registration wall is going to be good. Is going to be good enough, worthy enough for what they know is going to come next in marketing terms. So that places a real premium on our journalism in terms of doing really good, high quality, in depth. Lots of context, lots of analysis in what we do, because that's the heart of the engagement that we have with being able to engage with those readers and ultimately make money out of the fact that they're buying from us.
Do you think the journalism in some cases can be better now than it was when you were in a big weekly B2B magazine where people are buying it actually for the receiving it actually for the jobs as much as anything, as much as the editorial content, if we're honest. But now you're purely getting those readers on the editorial. Do you think that makes the curated journalism a bit sharper?
Oh, I think definitely, yeah. I think without a doubt. There's differences in the print days. The average journalist on a weekly title like Computer Weekly 15 years ago was writing maybe at most 3 or 4 articles a week, something like that. You know, these days a journalist on my team is probably writing, you know, 9 or 10 articles a week. Sometimes more, sometimes a few less. But yeah, you know, people are, you know, the nature of the web obviously is that people are engaging with us specifically because they want to read an article typically, or they want to find out the news headlines on a particular day. You know, in the print days, I mean, I'd walk around IT departments in those days, and there would be copies of Computer Weekly and its competitors, you know, left by the coffee machine, left by the photocopier, that sort of thing. And it's the sort of thing people would pick up and flick through, or you'd see them on the train in an evening, have a little flick through it, and they pick up on a couple of headlines and that sort of thing. But I certainly find that, you know, the engagement we get with readers online now is a lot more. Our, you know, regular readers who I talk to tend to remember our articles a lot more than they used to when they were reading them in print, because there is a bit more of that conscious effort made on their part, I think, to decide to read it and to choose what they want to read, rather than just reading something because it turns up on their desk every week and it's what we chose to send them that week.
So the kind of the counterintuitive thing about it all for me, quite surprising, is the fact that Computer Weekly lives on as a magazine in this weekly PDF version. So just as it ever was, the only difference being it's not printed; it's a PDF. Which, why does that work? It's kind of, you know, it's in this age of apps and whizzy digital magazines, but just something simple like a PDF. People want it.
Yeah, I mean, the engagement we get with that is still fantastic. I mean, because of the different cost model, obviously, we have a much bigger subscription base now for that. I mean, our last ever print issue went out to, I think, about 90,000 people. The weekly PDF now goes out to around 200,000 in the UK. We also now have, you know, again, because the economics now allow us to do it, we have regional versions of Computer Weekly as well, so that we have a Computer Weekly for the Nordics, one for Benelux, one for Southeast Asia, one for the Middle East, one for Australia, New Zealand, which go out on, you know, some of those are monthly and some of those are quarterly. Across all of those different magazines. Again, I don't know off the top of my head the exact figure because it tends to fluctuate, but it's sort of 300,000 to 400,000 subscribers in total across all those different magazines. I've never once had a reader say to me, "Why do you send me a PDF and not something more flashy or app based and that sort of thing?" And I think most of them, you know, most of them just seem to like it because it's easy, it's downloadable, it's portable, it works on a PC, it works on a tablet, it just about works on a decent sized smartphone screen, although that's just, you know, the vast majority of our smartphone readers will be on the website rather than on the PDF. But I think the simplicity of it still has a place. And it works. We don't sell advertising in it anymore, so it's purely editorial in there. There's no pages of advertising within that magazine anymore. When our readers are sent an email and go to download it, it's presented to them in a way that has adverts on screen around it. Excuse me, I've just got a cough. And again, we are, you know, generating usage data from the downloads. So the data from which we use the data analytics to make money out of it.
It's the same business model. It's the information about the readers and what they're doing.
Yeah.
So how many have you got on the team now in terms of journalists?
There's 18 of us
yeah.
in total, which is great. I mean, and that's, you know, one of the very best things for me as the editor when we came into Tech Target was I went from overnight from having conversations that I've been having in Reed inevitably about managing decline and cutting costs, into, you know, a growing smart digital publisher with a clever business model where the conversations were about growth and expansion and innovation and new products. when we came over from Reed, if I remember rightly, there were, I think it was 10 of us, 10 journalists that came over, and say now there's 18 of us. So you know they've invested in our journalism,
not many publications have got bigger over the last 5 years.
No, indeed, yeah. You know, obviously we've had to deliver the results to be able to do that, and you know, in that time since we were bought by TechTarget, our website traffic has pretty much doubled. You know, we've launched so many different new products during that time. I've mentioned some in terms of some of these international magazines that we're doing now, and Computer Weekly has grown in that time to become not just TechTarget's main UK publication, but also now TechTarget's main brand for targeting international English-speaking international audiences outside the Americas. You know, one of the core tenets that I think makes our journalism successful is that the best journalism, even in these all digital days, is still about who you know. It's still about having a great contacts book. It's still about having the relationships with people and the trust with those contacts to be able to find out information from them. And that's something that we place a massive premium on developing those sort of contacts. We went through a period in the late 2000s, like a lot of websites have done, and some still do, where the prevailing attitude was that you have to write as many stories as you humanly possibly can. That nobody likes to read long form content; they only ever read 200 words at a time. So you've got to write as many 200 word pieces a day as you can, so that you're going to be all over Google search. After I came in, we deliberately went in completely the opposite direction, and we said, we're going back to basics. We're going to focus on depth and context and analysis and top quality contacts to get stories that other people don't. And over time, our audience has absolutely responded to that. We found that where you're doing really good, high quality content, lots of exclusives, well informed, very knowledgeable, our readers want to read more and more of that. And that's where our growth has come from, by doing really good in-depth content, not by doing as many short news stories as we humanly possibly can.
Well, brilliant. Well, look, thanks very much for all that. great to hear Computer Weekly is doing so well.
Yep.
After 50 years, and long may it continue.
Thank you. I certainly hope so.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.